My name is Michelle O'Woo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 29th of September 2009 and the time is now 5:15 p.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
Alex Bath, I'm 24 and I'm from London and Plymouth and a bit of Leeds and yeah, where I'm from is a funny question.
How long have you lived in London?
I lived in London until I was 13, moved to Plymouth until I was 18, and then went to uni in Leeds. And so I never quite know what to say when someone asks where I'm from, because people I know from London always go, well, you're not really from London, yeah, you went here the whole time. And then I don't associate myself with Plymouth particularly, I was just there. And then Leeds quite sort of shaped me into who I am, so I'm a bit, yeah. But I stayed London. Joined.
When did you move back to London?
Well, I moved back to London sort of about 6 months after I finished university, but then I did a job where I was basically just working abroad, just travelling to different events for 2 weeks. So I lived in London but wasn't really in London, so I've only really been back in London for about 6 months. And I'm about to leave again, about going to Australia for 3 months. So,
working or travelling?
Travelling. My sister's moving there and I'm sort of over the pretense of just making it easy for her to move. A few of us are just going out as well.
Whereabouts are you going to go?
Fly to Perth and then then work it out from there. Eventually get to Sydney for sort of Christmas. But probably get there December and basically just bob around, not doing work, having fun.
Have you been before?
With work. I've been to Australia, but I've never done the sort of thing where you go and obviously you don't really see all their history, but you go and, you know, not done all the stuff where you go and see all this and that, and you go and see the Fraser Island and the Ayers Rock and sit around on the beach. So that's the plan.
Can you tell me how it is that you've come to be here today?
I've come to be here today because I work on the project as part of the broadcast. And I did apply through the normal draw, but didn't get in. But then I, through being around it all the time, went on the reserve list, and someone got colder feet than me, and they pulled out. So I'm here now.
But you're not working today.
No, nope, I'm not working. So annoyingly, I don't get time off work.
Can you tell me a bit more about what your day-to-day role up there actually involves?
Upstairs, the whole thing's being recorded, broadcast online so people can watch live, and recorded so that people can watch it back for years and years to come, supposedly. And we just make sure that we've cut between the cameras, try and make it look good, make sure what people say and music they want to play gets clocked. And also make sure that it records for posterity and make sure it streams so people can watch it now. And we spend a lot of time speaking to people on the internet who are obsessed with the thing, and they watch it all day and all night. And you speak to people who are in America, Germany, Australia. They're all tuning in to watch it for a bit, and they chat on Twitter all the time. Which is, I don't know. They should probably have something better to do some of the time, but.
How does working on this compare to other projects that you've been involved with?
I've worked in sport before, so it's different because sports is a, I don't know, the feel of the broadcast is different. This is a lot, you know, it's a lot calmer, a lot more relaxed, partly because it's not sort of like a live TV thing going out right now. But it's definitely different sort of doing something that's arts, where it's a bit more, people just seem to be more relaxed and more interested in what's going on rather than running around my endless chickens. I don't know, that doesn't sound like a very good description. I can't think how to describe it better than that.
Do the people who contact you on Twitter, what do they want to talk to you about?
Well, first, in the early weeks, it was just people talking about what was going on and things they liked and things they thought were good, and there are some people on there who just like, they just like taking the piss out of the people on there. They're just sitting their way and going, Jesus Christ, how fat is that bloke or whatever. And and then but that's gone on. People, the other day I had a day off because I had a big do on the Saturday night, and when I was working yesterday, people on Twitter were asking me how the do was and if I had a good time and things. So now they, you know, it's moved on to this sort of slightly odd community of people who, and you also get people who dip in because someone they know is on there and they're chatting. You get people up on the plinth who Twitter what they're thinking. And there's parts of it are very strange, but sometimes sometimes it can be quite interesting seeing what people are, because if you're thinking, you're watching it thinking, Christ, this is ridiculous, you know, this is, I think this person's mad, and then you look down at the little Twitter thing and there's 25 people from all over the country and the world going, bloody hell, this person's a moron, and you think, oh thank God, it's not just me. But then other times people are going, oh, this is amazing, you know, this is such a brilliant hour. And I'm thinking, oh shit, I must be missing something maybe I can't properly appreciate it by being at work.
Have you been on Twitter before?
Never really. I don't think I'll really use it again after this. A couple of the other people who work up there love it, and they've really enjoyed chatting away to people, but it's a bit strange for me, just someone I don't know randomly in Northern Ireland being all sort of friendly and asking about how the weekend was or something.
Do you think the people outside the UK have a kind of different take on it?
Definitely. There's someone who all the time, what is her name? And she's from Canada, and she always just hates everything, no matter what's going on. And she's just still going, boring, come on, next one, this is crap. But then you sort of think to yourself, well, you're not being paid to sit at your computer and watch it, you go and do something else. But they would rather just sit there for the hour, slang it off. There's like people in, because the Guardian had the constant one, at night there's someone in New York who does it for the Guardian. And they again, sometimes they're, maybe because they're American, they're always going, oh my God, this is so, so touching and so wonderful. And all the English people are going, what a moron, being sarcastic bastards like we all are.
How would you describe yourself?
I am quite reserved and quiet, I think. I'm not much of a person who, well, you can probably tell by the fact now, instead of talking about myself, I'm a bit sort of about it. I'm quite sort of quiet and keep myself to myself, and I don't know, probably a little, I don't know, it's hard to describe what I think of myself. I don't know. I don't know, I don't like, it takes a while for me to get myself out there, and I can sort of get along with people straight away, but then there's a definite process that I go through, like a while of getting to know them and feeling sort of comfortable with them before I am sort of myself with them. I think I have quite different personalities with different people, and so yeah, I vary would be how I describe myself.
What would you be doing if you weren't here?
If I, right now or here, right now I would probably just have gone home and I'd just be watching a film or reading a book or, I don't know, I may have just, I'm going to see a film later on, so I may have just done that a bit earlier.
What are you going to see?
The Inglourious Basterds, the Tarantino one. So, yeah, okay. Yeah, just stuff like that. Partly because at the moment I'm saving money, I suppose, because I'm going away. But I would normally, I'd either just go home and watch a film and do nothing, or go to the pub and have a few drinks. Worryingly, it probably doesn't vary much more than those things.
How are you going to spend your time on the plinth today?
I am going to take some photos, which I think is probably the least original thing, but you know, it's my hour, so it's original to me, I suppose. And just sort of, probably as a microcosm of the rest of my life, just sort of wing it a bit and see and hope I can make it through an hour. And I'll probably end up chatting to people down below, I imagine, and just going on seeing other hours. Just chat to people. I've got my iPod and I can happily just listen to music. You could stay out there for 2 days and I can happily just sit and listen to music. So I've got my iPod, it's sort of a safety net.
What,
that'll be fine.
What kind of thing do you listen to?
Probably the most annoying answer, a bit of everything. Just recently been listening to a guy called Lang Lang, who's a classical pianist, because my dad likes him, and he kept going on about him to the point where I thought, all right, I'll listen and talk to him. And then a band called The Temper Trap, who are quite sort of like rocky with a bit of sort of dance element. And then Louis Armstrong, because that was played at my sort of cousin-in-law's funeral, and the song was really amazing, La Vie en Rose. So I listened to that, and I've got some other bits, and so I've listened to a bit of Louis Armstrong recently. Could be anything.
What else are you taking up there with you?
Two beers. So if partly because if it was a real sort of image of Britain, 50% of people would be completely pissed the entire time. But also partly just sort of relax me a bit, as I don't know, I could get up there and be really nervous and sort of not, I'd be a bit panicky. And if I crawl a beers, that'll just chill me out, basically. and I've got a diary in my bag, but that's just through chance.
Do you keep a diary?
No, it's not so much a diary of like a Samuel Pepys historical document that people will ever really want to look at, but it's just sort of a periodic attempt to try and be organised. Every now and then I'll get a diary and try and keep a bit more, plan a bit more. But I do also end up writing little bits and noting stuff down of what I'm doing and things. So if history gets really desperate, they could find some use to it.
Have you kept any kind of record of the things that you've seen while you've been working upstairs? Because you've seen a lot of people.
I've taken lots of photos whilst I've been working, just of people going on, and I don't know, beyond that I reckon I could sit down with the other people I work with, and we could not remember all 2,400, but we could remember a hell of a lot of sort of people who were brilliant or rubbish, or people who did weird things. So I think just through I know it sounds a bit mad, I've not written stuff down or noted down, but I think I can remember a lot of it from having sat and watched. And I think there's a bit of a, I'm sure it's the same for so the artist chain people. There's a bit of a, I don't know, collective memory, I don't know, of what it's, probably what it's more been like being here for the 100 days than individual plinthers. And taking photos.
Does anything really stand out for you? Really, really?
There were ones where I just liked, where there was one where there was a man who made clay statues, but he didn't make clay statues, he made a clay plinth, and then people in the square were handing out clay, and he made clay statues and things, and they made them, and then he got them with a fish hook, and he made this sort of statue. And that was just quite cool, because it was, at first, it was sort of people were going, oh, give the kid a bit of clay, and oh, he can make it, and people were sort of, the traditional British thing of, oh, don't get involved. But then by the end, everywhere you looked in Trafalgar Square, every single person had a bit of clay and was making a man or a star or a, yeah, small plate, and whatever the first thing they thought of in clay. And it was just quite cool because he sort of slowly, people got involved. And I think good ones. There's a man who had another favourite one who was called, his nickname was Lego, because he had Lego style hair. And he was similar age to me, so 24, 25 or something. And so he had several masks, like circular yellow things he put around his head, which were like your Lego faces of him being happy or sad. And that was quite good. And I won't forget as well, second or third bloke who took all his clothes off. It was like a Sunday at like 6 p.m. And no one in the square cared. All you could see was people going, oh, brilliant, and just having a laugh and not minding about it at all. But then it was still, like, about 3 or 4 days later, it still came up on the news, and there was one person, sort of a Little Englander, Middle Britain person who's incredibly annoying, and there's one person complained, and it must have been thousands of people just streamed through, and they must have sought the person out. And so I remember that, because I just remember being really annoyed by one person. She should go, just go over there. Your kids don't have to see it, just walk somewhere else. But yeah, they're the ones I can remember initially. Lots of people who've taken photos, like myself.
Has it been quite disruptive to your life in a way, working the strange hours or shifts?
It less disruptive than my work, than my old job, where I was, say, in Melbourne, which is a bit more disruptive to your social life. There've been odd days where you sort of, after about 3 days, you think, oh, I've not done anything other than, because, you know, be at work or be at home, because when you've been at home, like if you do the night shifts, when you're at home, you just want to sleep and everyone else is at work. It could be worse. Like, you come in at 7 in the morning, you come in for the 7 in the morning shift, and there's already someone working at Pret-a-Manger who's been there for an hour setting up, and you think, well, there are worse. The worst problems to have. So, it's not been too bad.
What's your favourite time of day in the square?
It's not so much now because it's getting later, but the sort of about a month, 6 weeks ago, if you're doing the morning shifts, or no, if you're doing the night shifts from about 5 to 7, was always really nice. As the square slowly started to, because it gets so dark, and then as it starts to get brighter, it was nice. And also, always there's no one ever in it, apart from sort of Sunday about that time, when you get the few remnants of clubs and pubs, and you get people who just at about 3 a.m. went, oh, I'm going to just sit down here for 5 minutes, and then just fell asleep in the square and have been there for sort of 3 or 4 hours.
It felt quite surreal at that time of the morning.
Yeah, it's a little odd to be in Trafalgar Square. It's a bit strange to also, you're normally quite tired, so you sort of start to think, oh God, I'm getting a bit mad. But it is a bit surreal. But the whole thing's a bit surreal sometimes. Do you think, I've been sat in Trafalgar Square for, I think it was 87 days. I've just been sat there the whole bloody time, watching. But sometimes it's quite interesting if you just, you know, if someone on the plinth is just standing there stock still. You know, that's a moment where you can go and have a cup of tea, and you can you just stand and watch the square for 5 minutes, and you just see all these people sort of buzzing around. So there are weird elements, but it's been interesting seeing sort of people just pass by. It's just people watching, I suppose. But
does it get a lot busy for you on a Friday night if they're broadcasting the live?
Yeah, it gets heaving from like one. It finishes at 8, and at about roughly 2 minutes past 8, 99% of the people have gone home or gone to the pub. So from about 3 to 7, about 1 to 7, it slowly builds up and gets more and more hectic. And then when the show's actually on, most of the time everyone's just stood there making sure everything works. So that's not too bad. But yeah, it does suddenly get all hectic. And you spend the whole time with people going, oh, you're the one, oh, you're in the little room, are you right in there? And you sort of, I'm fine apart from people sticking their head in going, oh, look at you. So apart from them, it's fine.
What were you studying at university?
I studied politics, which is a, by the end of it, I just thought to myself, well, that's ruled that career out.
Why is that?
Because it's sort of it's all a bit shit, really.
Could you expand on that?
You want more poetic answers than that?
No, it's it wasn't for you.
The when I went, it was quite an interesting time in politics anyway, and I'm sure it's something in 20, 30 years people look back and it'll be, you know, be endless books, and I'm sure Oliver Stone is he's already done one, I suppose. Yeah, people are able to make films about it because we had all Bush and Blair and September the 11th and wars, and suddenly everyone had thought, oh, the walls come down, brilliant, this is going to be what the world will be like for the rest of time. And so yeah, it's all quite interesting, and there's lots of people can remake lots of change, but around politics people were just too stupid, really, and people weren't. Even when you're at university, you're just talking about it in a seminar, people just were still sort of, I'm a Labour voter and I think like this. And you think, oh, fucking hell. Oh, sorry. Anyway, you think, oh, fucking hell. If you're a politics student in a seminar and you're already towing a sort of a party line, and the ability to just think about the actual reality of a situation has already gone, then we're probably just completely fucked. People don't really sort of, the number of times, obviously, things like the Iraq War would come up, after half an hour, you'd go, okay, apart from the fact you don't like George Bush, tell me why you don't think we should invade Iraq. And you just get these sort of spluttering, blubbing messes telling you how much of a twat they thought George Bush is. And you think, that's excellent. I think he's a moron as well, but why shouldn't he do it? Just because he's an idiot, you know. He might be right, you know. And it's just all a bit of a waste of time. It's all, like, the whole thing. Now, like, it's interesting now, because you've got, until fairly recently, everyone else thought they're morons, but I think it's one of those things which, when people look back, but I think probably Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling are actually probably quite good at their job, but they're just rubbish politicians. Because just reading and watching a documentary the other day and reading stuff about it, about all the financial crisis, everyone else faffed around. And it turns out Gordon Brown, Alistair Darling and Shriti, something like that, I can't remember the name, the Americans were all sort of paralysed by the election and things, and the European governments were just sort of blaming, you know, Anglo-Saxon capitalism, and Gordon Brown and Alistair Darling actually came up with a plan, and that was the plan that was then instigated everywhere in the world, and that's stopped. And I didn't realise it was at the point that, you know, there was stuff they were saying, there things like sort of RBS. They got to the point that it got to the end of closing on the Monday, and if they didn't have a plan by the Tuesday at 9 a.m, by 9:02, the shares would have. The bank would be bankrupt, and you used to think, well, that's then the start of like a 29 star depression, and you think, oh, blood, yeah, I thought they were rubbish, but I don't know, you never hear stuff like that, and everything's just, it's stuff like, stuff like society as a whole, who gives a shit about Jay Goody dying, who cares if Jordan's split up with her boyfriend?
Why do you think people are so preoccupied?
Because it's all. I only got 20 minutes. It's all just. Everything's just sort of slowly eating itself, really, isn't it? I did see it was a comedian, Ed Byrne. I think it's Ed Byrne. I thought he's made a joke, but he's put a fair chance he was close to the truth. He said the whole sort of financial collapse was suddenly because people just didn't. People had enough shit. They just didn't want to buy any more crap. He thought this could reach a point. Everything has gone very American, which is a bit of a lazy term for it, I suppose. It's very, everything's a market. Everything is to sell stuff. I mean, for, yeah, it's very good what we're doing, but I'm sure Rupert Murdoch does not have a deep love of Trafalgar, an interesting thing going on in Trafalgar Square, but he wants Sky Arts to be a strong channel so that he can question the license fee for the BBC, because they've got BBC 4, and he can say, well, I'm doing the same stuff with Sky Arts. And yeah, that's the face of the simplest argument, I suppose. But that's the only reason anything happens. No one goes, and yeah, no one just does stuff because it's good. That's one interesting thing with this is that I'm amazed at the number of people who have been raising money for charity.
It's a bit.
I mean, almost all of them always have a personal attachment to something. But I don't know, maybe I'll just have to downbeat a view of people. But there's been very few people who are my age, and I'm not doing it with my hour, you know, I'm not saying these people are awful, but you know, not many people my age who are doing stuff for charity, who are concerned for other stuff. But yeah, I don't know, I didn't really think of it as something that lots of people would do. I expected people to probably do like me and just go up there and after 5 minutes be like, well, I've seen kind of what it looks like, what should I do in the next 50 minutes? And lots of people who were sort of very arty performance art people who were going to expressive dance to a piece of music, you know, or whatever. I just didn't really think of... But so that was, but yeah, I suppose I should feel a bit better about people being concerned. But yeah, generally, yeah. I think about 45 minutes ago the question was, why did I not want to do politics once I left? And it was just, it's all a bit, it doesn't seem like something that's very, very fun, or that at the start I found it quite interesting and thought, this is, you know, I didn't really want to do something. I want to make money and have a nice life, but I'm not obsessed with being a billionaire.
Do you have fun in your job?
It's quite fun. It's not, I won't lie, it's not what I want to do for ever.
What do you want to do?
I quite enjoy working in sport, because it was something which, from a selfish position, I enjoy doing, and it was a bit of a bonus to be being at things I want, you know, things that I would happily go to and being paid for it. But also, you can't beat when I used to work for a company who were actually involved in sort of what was going on in the tennis matches, and you couldn't beat when it was sort of like at the Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York, and there's 24,000 people, and it's rammed, and it's match point, and it's all, you know, and then suddenly everyone's looking at you, and it's, you know.
What would you be doing?
And is a thing, it's called Hawkeye, and it's like they say the ball's in or out, and and you think, well, yeah, I'm not, fuck it, these people are quite happy, aren't they, they're all having a great time. And in the same way people always complain about footballers earning lots of money, you think, fuck it, there's offside, I keep saying, they all think, you think, well, there's 50,000 people standing there having an absolutely brilliant afternoon, who cares if they're earning lots of money? Money, but I don't know, it's probably easier to say, I've never been that poor, but yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before you get up on the cliff?
Slightly rambling interview, so I apologise.
That's fine.
No, I don't know. I hope people, I don't know, I think people shouldn't, something like this shouldn't take too seriously. They all complain about things when the money gets spent on it. And this is something which I'm sure someone somewhere has complained about. Can't city money being used in this? And you think, stuff like the Olympics, you think, oh, just don't complain about it and have fun. You'll be happier and we'll all be happier. And I hope people don't when they look back at these sort of tapes and they look at the footage and things, they don't think, oh, what a waste of time. They just think, well, that was kind of interesting listening to. I doubt that someone's going to listen to this hour and find it very interesting, but I'm sure out of the 2,400, someone's got to have been quite interesting. And they don't look too deep, they just see what people were like and what people thought now.
I hope you have fun.
Yeah, it should be alright.
Thank you very much.